ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, whether you're driving a Pinto or driving a Mercedes, stop what you're doing, stop what you're saying, take a seat down, and stop with what you're playing. And that's right. Don't fight. Come together. We in this thing forever. I must admit, I'm too legit to quit, too hot to handle, and too cold to hold. And welcome to another edition of Master of the Universe Horror Podcast, hosted by the man, myth, the legend, Joey Cage, co-hosted by G-Money, a.k.a. Gabe, the man-beast, and CRISPR J, motherfucker, to the max. How we all doing?
Man, I've been waiting all fucking week for this Child's Play 3, kid!
I'm doing pretty damn good.
And today's movie we're featuring is Child's Play 3, directed by Jack Bender, written by Don Mancini, produced by Robert Latham Brown. The film, I was not able to get a budget on this film, but it made $20.5 million at the box office, and this film, I think, had the misfortune of having a release date right after Terminator 2.
It also was released, I think they said, like 9 months after Part 2, because I was kind of wondering, like, why the fuck they didn't get the real Andy Barkley in this one. They got that working-ass Andy, and it was like, well, if they're going to put a however old Andy was in the second one, in this film, he's supposed to be, like, what, 16 or something like that? And
yeah, 16.
Wasn't going to work with the real didn't you meet that guy, the Part Two Andy, the real Andy?
Yeah, I met the real part, the original Andy, and yeah, he's my age, that Alex Vincent.
Yeah, Alex Vincent, so, him, that's the motherfucker.
Yeah, that guy's pretty cool, man. Now this guy himself, the one for Part Three, is a whole different guy, and no, I haven't met him, but I do have a couple of questions I'd like to ask him about the damn movie, though.
He's from Serial Mom. I remember seeing that film, like, way back when. What would you ask the working Andy, dude?
I don't know. If anything, like, you know, what was, like, the auditions like, or, you know, or what drove him to want to come and try out for this movie in particular, unless it was, like, a friend or someone outside that kind of suggested that to him. Just like little things like that, just kind of chit chat with them and get a feel for like how he felt about this damn movie. My understanding is that I know Chris said that he didn't like this movie.
I don't know.
Is that right?
No, I think Chris.
I love this movie.
I was gonna ask Chris, because I was like, out of all the horror movies, he's not like, he didn't grow up like, he like say, I grew up with a horror. I wasn't a horror movie guy, but you've always been okay with Chucky, right?
Yes! Oh my God!
He's like, what are you, nuts, bitch? Of course.
Yeah, I know, right? Man, I'm surprised he didn't come through the damn computer and try to choke my ass right now.
Sorry, I came up a little worked on that. Didn't mean to, but
no, I love it. That's how you know. Yeah, Chris, that's how I know Chris is like legit. Cause like, what is that? Cause he's always talked about the Child's Play stuff. So go ahead, Chris. Tell your piece.
I mean, I'll tell you. Like, I like the first three. I really don't care for anything after the first three. To me, it's just like, I don't get it. I don't know why they had to do it. It just doesn't make sense. It's dumb. But the first three are like the OGs that work. And I'll tell you, I love that this one was like the fastest paced of the three of them. Like the first two are just the truest, most genuine overall as far as content. But this one is just a fun fucking movie nonstop every minute. So, and like, I only saw this one literally once. And I want to say I was either like 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, somewhere in that 7th to 10th grade age range, in the mid-90s, late 90s, something like that. So I only saw it once, and just the whole him being in military school, and now he's a teenager, he's not a little kid anymore, all that stuff. And it was just interesting, it was intriguing, and you know, and then Chucky sneaking in the vault, that always appealed to me. So yeah, I love this one. It's actually the most fun of the three.
Okay. I growing up, I only had the first three, and it was definitely my least favorite. It's like going back to viewing it after seeing, you know, Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, Cult of Chucky, the fucking what is the other one? Curse of Chucky, the fucking Chucky remake. It definitely stands out as one of the better ones. The only one, well, I mean, it's better than The Bride and Seed. I actually really like Cult, and I only saw those once. You talk about, you saw this once prior, but Cult and Curse I've only seen once each, and I really like them, so it's going to be interesting to go back to them again and watching them for like when we do the reviews, which we'll be getting to those, I'm sure, soon. But this one I thought was really good going back to it. It wasn't like amazing or anything, but I had fun with it, dude. It's like I saw it and I was like, this is just like the quoting movie for Chucky. He's like, don't fuck with the Chuck and all that other bullshit, you know.
Chucky's going to be a bro. Can you believe it?
I'm going to be a bro. I fucking started laughing, dude. I was like, my eyes got all big. I was like, is that a black joke?
Oh, shit, you cannot get
not racist at all, right?
Chucky's going to be a bro.
Can you imagine someone saying that in a movie today? They'd be canceling them all that shit.
Oh, my God. It's just, it's funny, you know. It's like
it kind of makes you appreciate that they did the shit before, you know.
Yeah, it's,
you know, this whole canceling thing started coming out.
Yeah, it's so, a serial.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that. I like it.
It's like if the serial killer doesn't, you know, he's not gonna hold back if you're black or Asian or Hispanic or anything else. You know, he's like, fuck it.
Can I throw in a wrestling reference here? The shoot interview with Nash, where he's talking, and this is from like literally almost 10 years ago, where he's talking about what's wrong with Monday Night Raw, and he's all. These magazine cover model looking people go out there and get on the mic and say, I'm going to kick your ass. Well, I'm going to kick your ass. It's like, dude, come on. I can go to the bus stop and see 2 sixth graders calling each other cocksuckers and they're going to fuck each other's moms.
What's that got to do with Child's Play 3?
No, it's because it's like that. What it has to do with is how raw things were. Like, this was raw. This is legit. This is like you said, a serial killer, a stalker, a psycho murderer, whatever. He's not going to be all prim and polished and everything. And if it is, it's only because it's part of his, like, eccentric personality. But generally, something like that, they're going to be a ruffian. I mean, come on. What are you trying to make these people all clean for? What are you trying to make everything so palatable for? That's what makes it legit.
If you say so, Christopher J. If you want to throw in a, you want to throw in
like
a Nash shoot.
The words when he said ruffian. I really like that.
Oh yeah, you know him. You know him. Yeah, yeah. He's gonna come. He's gonna come ready to play and shit with fucking the word games. But what about you, Gabe? How was your viewing this time around with the old fucking Child's Play 3?
Oh man, you know, watching 1, 2, and 3, it's something common. It's not like I saw it once a long time ago, and then that was it. Like, no, I've actually kept up with it. I still watch it from time to time. It doesn't – usually, like, when I usually talk to some of these people, like, at a horror convention or even just at my work or somewhere, you know, passing by, you know, we happen to reference, you know, like, talking about Chucky, you know, just part – it usually leads back to part one or part two. If you end up bringing up part three – and they usually start saying, it's all right. You know, it had the whole military type of feel for this movie. But one of the most notable things in part three that a lot of people always, you know, they happen to say that they really loved or they really liked about it is the damn ending from this damn movie.
Yes.
As the story in this movie leads up to a haunted house like this carnival and, you know, leave it to Andy and the kid that's the little African-American kid getting ready to be taken over by Chucky. You know, they're all getting ready to die. Well, leave it to Chucky. He gets like half of his face sliced off. So you get to see all the blood and all the veins and everything all in that. That's pretty neat. And then, you know, the ending part where he gets chopped up. And that's where we're mostly remember Chucky now, or more in the more recent days, is like brighter Chucky. You know, he has all the scars. He looks all Frankensteinish. He has like the stitches and everything. That's where that came from. I think part three was really good, and I still watch it from time to time, but I happen to watch 1 and 2 a little more than 3. 3 is great though.
Yeah. No, I like I said, yeah, you know, compared to the other ones, it kind of like it's not as good, you know, because the first one's very, very well, you know, it's comparable to 2, but part 1 is like the one that's actually like, you know, very horror. The other ones are more slasherish. I like the characters much better in part 2. I guess that's where the differential comes from. With this one, I don't like fucking Andy in this one. I don't know about how y'all feel, but I don't think it's really the actor's fault. I think it's more about how he's written, just because I was like, man, everyone in this film kind of sucks. You got annoying ass – what's the kid's name? I forgot. I didn't even know his name. Tyler. Yeah, Tyler. Yeah, because you got like Andy whining the whole time, Tyler. You know, and he's all like, "Oh, get a, you're just jealous. You're just jealous, Barkley." You know, all this bullshit. And I'm like, "Oh my God, the chick's tougher than Andy." You got the other asshole. What's his name? Lieutenant Colonel Shelton.
Shelton, Brad C. Shelton.
Yeah, and then you got the dork. I don't even know his name, but he's like Andy's friend. He's the dork. Everyone's like a gimmick in this one.
Aubrey White, Harold Aubrey White.
Yeah, him. And then you got, I like the guy that was giving the haircuts, dude. He's from Hellraiser and shit. He's the dad from Hellraiser 1.
I forgot the character name, but it's Sergeant something. I'll look it up. But yeah, that was a good eccentric character right there. I'll tell you with
Presto, you did.
Presto. That's a good line right there. Yeah, but me, we were talking about this on the chat a while back. The thing with Brad C. Shelton is that dude, there's no way that dude's even close to 30, but he has the rank Lieutenant Colonel. Now, I work for a company that deals with a lot of military, and we address people by their ranks even if they're out. So the youngest Lieutenant Colonel I've ever come across that was actively a Lieutenant Colonel was literally like 39. So how, if he's a Lieutenant Colonel, it's because he made it in that bullshit academy school system.
So I like, who the fuck wrapped up Chucky in that fucking package, you know? I thought that was hilarious. It's like the fucking, like, Chucky gets delivered to go to Andy, and like, I'm like, who the fuck wrapped up? It's just like Brad and Chucky were, like, they do all the phone calls, but we're not seeing Chucky actually get someone to put him in a box, wrap him up, and send, deliver his ass to go to what's his name, Andy's school and shit. So there's a lot of, but Chris is like, dude, there's no way he's a fucking colonel. There's a fucking way.
You know, there was a lot of funny moments in this damn movie. I mean, more so in comparison to, like, the last two, you know, the previous ones. Like, in this one, when he finally comes across Andy, you know, remember that porn magazine? He's all, Andy, you're all grown up.
Yeah, he's all, how you've grown and shit. He's on the floor. And she's like, oh, shit, Uncle Charles, it's not what you think.
Yeah, and then not even that. I mean, then you have remember when the girls end up finding the damn doll, and then they're putting lipstick all over them. It's just like little moments like that throughout the movie. Like, it just makes it a little less serious in comparison to like one and two. And I think you're right. I think the characters make a huge difference in this. Like Tyler, the little kid, the one that Chucky's actually after. He was more. I don't know what his age is supposed to be, man, but he acts like a little kid. I mean, though he is little in that movie, he seems like not mentally all there. Like, he just seems like not very.
They should call him Ray, right? Hey, Ray.
How awesome was that? He was holding an Atari Lynx.
Oh yeah, he's playing his game, right, or whatever. I don't know what it was. I thought it was like a Game Gear or something. I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah,
it was.
I thought it was a Game Gear also.
Chris is just throwing names out there. No, I double, quadruple checked.
I remember the Atari Lynx when I was a kid. It was like they were trying to be in with the Game Boy and Game Gear market. It was good for like a couple years after that it fizzled. But yeah, no, that kid is also the same kid in Saved by the Bell, that Christmas episode where they're all working at the mall, but then Lisa has a job at the hospital, and they give gifts to the kids in the hospital, and he's the little black kid that tells Slater, oh,
he's he's the little white kid, dude.
Yeah, he's a little white, exactly. But he tells Slater, like he says the package is wrapped wrong, and then Slater says, hey, it's what's inside the counts. He goes, oh, you wrapped it. Kids 7-8 years old in an academy with like 16-17 year olds.
Well, my understanding, and this is how I thought of it back then, was usually kids, and I don't know if y'all have ever heard the threat, but when they were, when you were younger, you know, if you ever did bad things or you were horrible in school or you did bad shit, you know, the parents would often go ahead and say, hey, we're going to send you off to military school.
Yeah.
And that was just a way of trying to set discipline into the kids, and hopefully that would set them straight. You know, actually looking into it now, you know, these military schools, like, or like, they have like a set of rules. The moment these kids act bad, they kick them out. They don't want that kind of reputation just for taking in, you know, undisciplined kids, you know, where they're all rowdy and they, all they're known for is just causing trouble. So I can, that was my mentality of thinking about it. This was like the 90s, and that threat did go around quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So I can only imagine that was probably, you know, the idea of it.
I forgot about that till you mentioned it. I didn't put it, you know, two and two together. But as soon as you said it, I was like, it reminded me of Up in Smoke. Everyone's seen Up in Smoke, right? Where,
oh, yeah.
Where when, like, Chong, I guess he's supposed, I don't know if he's supposed to be a kid or young at least, but his dad's all, oh, we're shipping you off to military school and all that shit. Yeah, I fucking love that beginning, dude. He's over there making a fucking protein shake or whatever. He's all, you can start off with strawberries, then you can work your way up to these goddamn bananas. He's just fucking... When, boy, are you going to learn, son of a bitch? And I fucking... That was, like, the only thing I remember from, like quotable is, like, that whole intro, because it's like... You know, if you don't behave, like you said, we're going to ship you off to military school. And then, like, there was a few – they did that in Bill and Ted, too, you know. Like, so that mm-hmm. was the thing. So I'm glad Gabe brought that up because, yeah, nowadays it's not like that, dude.
Yeah, and I got two cousins that got sent to the Marine Academy down in the Valley, you know, for, like, one of them did his middle school there. The other one actually did his high school there. But, yeah, no, that was a legit thing back then. And remember Mr. Belvedere? They were always running Wesley was sending him to military school.
Who the fuck is Mr. Belvedere?
That sitcom, Mr. Belvedere?
Oh, I don't. I've never seen that.
I kind of remember that, but not. I mean, not too much, really.
Yeah, like they showed reruns of it when we were in elementary, and then like
that was the old fat guy, right? Wasn't he taking care of like some kids?
Yeah. Well, no. He was the butler for that family. Like it was that baseball announcer. What's his name? Don Shuler? No, not Don Shuler. What's his name? He was on WrestleMania. What's that baseball announcer?
Okay. Mark I don't know. I give up.
Yeah. Fuck. How hot is what's the chick's name, Chris? I know you got the names in front of you somewhere. Is it De Silva? Is her name De Silva?
Yeah. That kid. Kathy De Silva.
Yeah. I was like, man, dude, that was like the only thing worth. I mean, you got Chucky and you got hot ass De Silva, dude, because like. She's basically, and I don't mind it, but she's the one that's taking care of Andy because Andy's too chicken shit to, he's always just, see, this sounds whiny, you know, I guess. So for those of you that don't know, obviously, what I like about this film is it has the continuation, it continues the story of Andy Barkley. I mean, it does add in the fact that, oh, that Chucky doesn't have to go to Andy because he's got a new body now, so that's why he's trying to get to Tyler. So that's pretty cool. I like that they continue that because typically, like right after, like, because you have Freddy, you know, one, and then right after two, they change, well, on two, they change the story. They go back to it in part three. Halloween one and two, the third one, they change it, you know. So a lot of films, they don't really go to that third one. So this would be the last one they talk about Andy until I think Alex Vincent comes back in, like, the end of.
Yeah, and basically, Curse of Chucky. We don't actually hear or see anything.
That's right, the ending, right? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so Curse of Chucky at the end, Chucky ends up getting, or Andy ends up getting a random package. Well, anyways, who busts out of the package is Chucky, and then here's Andy, you know, full grown. He was already well prepared for that, so he ended up busting out a big-ass shotgun straight in his face.
Yeah.
And then it just leads off to Cult of Chucky, where we see more of him. But... Funny enough, though, what I really liked, if you end up seeing Cult of Chucky, it shows, like, more of a background on Andy. Yeah. And if you look on his wall, I think it's more on his dresser, but he has, like, a photograph of that same kid that's in part three. And basically referencing, saying that was him you know, as a young kid when he was in military school. So pretty much it does make references towards the part three, trying to keep in continuity with it. Now, as far as like how Bride of Chucky and all that leads in, he doesn't really have any kind of contact with her up until Cult of Chucky. So we don't really see anything. There's like a big, I think it's supposed to be a 9-year gap from part three to Bride of Chucky.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking 2 to 3. Yeah, 2 to 3 is like an 8-year gap.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there's like a huge... No, well, I'm talking about from part three to Bride of Chucky.
Oh, yeah, when they do all that. That one's going to be interesting to talk about. I can't, like, what I plan on trying to do is, of course, we're going to mix in, like, we're doing Resident Evil next week because the new other Resident Evil is coming out in November. Well, this, in, like, a few weeks, right? So, yeah. Right. So we'll be
November
doing
24th, the new Resident Evil movie comes out. And this is actually going to be starring the main characters from the video game series, which is pretty damn interesting. Unlike the old, what was it, 2002 Resident Evil, where we got all the main characters, they're treated as side characters.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just that's definitely going to be interesting to talk about, though. And I'd love to hear, like, what you guys thought about that movie, though.
Yeah, I can't wait to review it and check it out and all that stuff, because those are more action ones. So, like, going forward, yeah, it's going to be some I'm pretty sure we're going to go on a mini Resident Evil run. We're going to do some Child's Play, and I want us to really mix in, like, Hellraiser, fucking the rest of Chucky, Leprechaun, and, like, Puppet Master or Saw, like, try to get some of those bigger friends. There's so many. We haven't even got to the... Yeah, so that's all I'm saying. We're gonna do some Saw shit, and you know, we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, because Chucky's, even though some of them you may not like, they're always a little bit of fun. Like Bride of Chucky, I don't not to get to the review. I'm sure when we watch it again, we'll give more thoughts. But you really don't care for like Bride of Chucky, right?
Yeah, I mean, in comparison to like all these other ones, like how I was saying, like. Part three happens to be a little more, it has a little more jokes in there. It has a little more like little kind of comedy things that will try to make you laugh, that things that they're doing to antagonize Chucky a little bit more. But then when it went off and we ended up getting like, I was so excited when I heard about Bride of Chucky and I was like, oh snap, they're going to bring two dolls into this. And man, my mind was blown. And then when I saw it, I was just like, what the heck is this? Like, honestly, I kind of felt like they went the whole Jason X kind of thing, like kind of like similar to that, where it's comedy, but yet it's trying to be serious. I think it was that Ronnie Yu who ended up.
Yeah, that's him. That's the asshole.
Yeah. Right? And he ended up directing that damn movie. And it just like, I don't know, like the soundtrack is pretty damn good with that movie. I like the soundtrack for it. And I love the references that they make in that movie. That's like one of the main things I really like about it. But I mean, overall, like I really just, yeah, I usually kind of, I really don't watch it too often. Like I watch it here and there just to kind of refresh my memory on it. But man, it's hard to watch for me sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely jumps into that. Like you said, that Ronnie, well, he's the director for both. Ronnie, you has a very distinct directing style. And, you know, Chris, you've seen Jason, of course, and Freddy, how that one's, like, really different compared to the other ones, like, the over-the-top, or, like, he has a, even, like, the view and the camera style and everything, like, you could tell his style, but.
Yeah, there's directors all have their own way of doing things. Some of them are nothing but cutaway shots. Some of them try to keep cutaway shots to a bare bones minimum. Some of them use the different aspect ratios of the cameras, you know, all that stuff.
Definitely. I thought part three did very well as far as like some of the camera angles and things that they were doing with Chucky himself. Like, remember when in the beginning, that big CEO for this whole production for this toy company, he ended up dying. When he ended up dying, he fell on the floor. I like the angle that they did where Chucky was just like, here, I'm just going to kind of step on your back and step on your face. You know, he's just like, oh, yeah, there you go. And just, like, little angles and little distance shots, like, especially with, like, the main drill sergeant, like, the main head master. I don't know, what is he, the general?
The colonel.
Yeah, the colonel. And you saw a good distance shot with him carrying Chucky. You know, he took it away. He took it away from Tyler, and he was walking back to wherever he came from. But he's carrying Chucky, and then here Andy's, like, watching, like, he was practicing his drills, and he saw in the distance the way they showed that, how he was carrying Chucky. And I like that distance shot. It gave, like, a kind of a creepy vibe, and you can see that in Andy's face when he was, like, he practically dropped his gun where he was, like, in shock. Like, he couldn't believe looking or seeing that damn doll again. It was pretty terrifying for him.
Are you fucking kidding me?
There's a lot of little scenes in this one that are kind of crazy. Like you had mentioned, that guy in the beginning getting killed. That whole intro, because, you know, the James Bond kind of intro with the spinning the fucking factory. I thought that was really cool when they pick up the melted body of Chucky, like it starts bleeding, and they throw it in there. I thought that was really cool, that little blood spinning in there. Just tons of shit like that. When go ahead, man.
And the CEO, the colonel, by the way, his last name is Cochran, and the CEO I think is Connell, and what do you call it? So what happens is Connell, like, he's in his own, you know, private, you know, penthouse office by himself, and the board meeting's over, and he's just, you know, trying to take the edge off, you know, and has a couple shots and sits down on the couch, watches CNBC.
I thought I saw him having some buffalo quesadillas, dude. I wasn't sure, though.
No, he's not. But then he sits down and he's watching CNBC, and you fucking young Ron Insana. I couldn't believe it. He actually had hair at one point. And what do you call it? And he's watching that. And then this is just so classic of slasher films, is like people just, for some reason, ordinary people have no peripheral vision at all. And here's this Chucky coming up from behind him and, like, hands him, I can't remember what it was, a putter, whatever it is. And he's sitting there watching TV, and then he gets up and has no peripheral vision to see Chucky. And then, like, I love the setup, that train suspended from the ceiling.
I love all the toys, right? All the toys in that motherfucker, yeah.
There were a couple of those robots we had when I was a kid. That black one with the chest, the silver chest plate, and the red eyes. We had that, and just, you know, the way they killed him, which, you know, was humorous, sad, but kind of humorous at the same time. Just the way it played out. But I liked how they brought the movie full circle, and I won't spoil it for you. But I just like how Chucky starts off killing someone in a room with a giant train kind of thing.
I thought the train was with that other guy. Oh. The whatever he is, the school leader guy, and he's got like a nice little setup for his, like, his gimmick, right?
No, the train was in the CEO's office because he had all the toys, and that was one of the toys.
Yeah, but the guy, the head of the military academy, doesn't he have like a table full of like military things, like,
yes,
like a battlefield? Yes, yeah, he has like a. I remember that because he has that Harley. You gotta be fucking kidding me, like. Like, I mean, I know, like, I said that, you know, the other two are way better, and they are, but this Chucky is fucking hilarious. Like, I forgot about it till, like, literally right now when we're, like, talking about it, is when he's, like, trying to look for Tyler, and he's all like, come out, wherever you are. He's all, ollie, ollie, oxen free. He's all like, get out of here, you little jerk, or some bullshit. I was like, this guy's fucking hilarious, dude. Like, how many killers get over like that, dude? Probably Freddy, but he's even more over.
You know, it's like one of the things I kind of appreciate from this, like, usually, like, in a lot of our horror, a lot of the old horror movies are, like, the ones that we're more familiar with. They start off with part one, and the killer is always sneaking about, or we really don't see the killer up until, like, halfway through the movie, or at least start close to the end. We'll see like little tidbits here and there up until the middle or towards the end of the movie. In these last two movies, as far as part two and three, since we've already seen all the action and seen all the, you know, pretty much everything that Chucky can deliver from part one, they just kind of jump straight into it, and they just already show you the damn killer. Like, we already know it's the doll. There's no reason to sneak around. Yeah. But I like the fact that they just kind of jump into it already and just say, like, all right, let's just go ahead and just involve him already and just have him start chit-chatting and talking his way. Because I guess what I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, they kind of you lose the fear factor in it because there's no more sneaking around. He does, like, spots in here and there, but it's mostly just for the suspense of the kill. But I think now we're just interested in the damn doll, and that's more of the reason why we're just watching it. That's why we're watching these damn Child's Play movies, is because Chucky himself, we just want to see him walk and talk. We want to see what they do and how they do it. And honestly, they've been pretty consistent, you know, as far as his looks and everything for the 1 through 3. They did pretty damn well up until, you know, more of the recent movies like Curse and Cult of Chucky. Now he does look, even the TV series, I mean, he doesn't look anything like the 1, 2, and 3 at all. I mean, they gave him a smoother look, but still, I mean, like, how far can, I would think they would try at some point or another trying to make him look so much closer.
Had noticed on this one, like, how good he looked. Like, he looks a little bit different than part two, but it actually, like, looks, I guess, slightly better than part two. And part one looks completely different just because that's what they were going for, as far as, like, to make him look more real. Because, like, of course, if you see him from, like, the begin, like, just normal, Chucky, to where he starts, you know, being animated and with the mom by the fireplace, to where he sees John and he's, like, all, you know, pale looking, like, because he's turning more human and shit. So this one kind of just goes for just, hey, this is Chucky, we're not going to do any of that gimmick. And so I like the way he looks on this one. The ending's pretty insane. There's, like, a lot of good deaths and fucked up shit. Like, I forgot about it when he gets thrown into the dumpster, when you had said when Andy sees him or whatever, and they throw him in the dumpster. He's all like, help, get me out of here. It's like, where are you? He saw, I'm back here, whatever. And then he closes that fucking garbage truck on the fucking poor dude, man. And fucking, I remember seeing that as a kid and being all traumatized. I was like, man, he got crushed to death, you know? Fucked up death, but good shit there. And then when he slices that dude's throat that gives the haircuts, presto, you're dead.
And did it to him exactly the way he said the ancient Romans did.
What? when he's talking about slitting the throat, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it, huh?
And I'm gonna let you continue. Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, it's the irony. It's always this movie has a lot of ironies, and I'll list them later. But yeah, I like that. That caught me, and that was pretty cool. I like that there's a dual narrative going on here, a dual dynamic at play. You have the dynamic of Andy being healed on by this new school, this new system of, you know, this Lieutenant Colonel Brad C. Shelton, and, you know, then above him is Colonel Cochran. I like that because he's getting fucked with in that, and he's uncomfortable and he's unhappy, and the guy he was bunking with was the main target. Now he finds himself being the main target because he tried to steal the doll back. And at the same time, you got Chucky coming after him. So he has to handle, like, two threats simultaneously.
Yeah.
Getting fucked with by the school system, and Chucky has snuck into the school, and he's going to fuck with either him and this Tyler kid. So it's kind of the dual thing. But it's done in a way where it's easy to follow and easy to keep track of. It's not like, you know, Malignant, where there's 10 different things going on, you know?
Malignant was all over the place. What was I going to say? Yeah, and then we get to, you know, towards the end, they have that big old, like, what do they call it? Like, it's called a War Games or something.
War Games.
Yeah, and red versus blue, and that's where Chucky loads up the live rounds, and that's a pretty crazy scene. There's the grenade scene where the dork guy saves everyone, and Chucky runs off with Tyler, and they end up, like Gabe said, like that haunted house shit, which I thought was like, I had, believe it or not, I completely forgot about it till I watched it. I was like, I forgot about this whole little thing, and that's a scary ass looking haunted house. And just like you, Chris, I watched the review of what's it called, Cinema Snob, and he's all like, well, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen. I started laughing.
What? I know. I'm like, OSHA would have a field day with this. So would a bunch of trial lawyers.
Yeah, fucking, you know, because Andy's like hanging off the train. I'm like, man, there's no way this would be a legit haunted house anywhere. But it was badass anyway for the movie. And I think,
and the
best.
Fuck, do they have that big ass fan blade just in the middle of the thing? Like, if someone falls off something, you're just asking for a death and a serious injury, whatever. And lawyers are going to be all over that. What in the fuck?
No protective anything on it either. Yeah, well, that's what makes it so, that was the best death, like, in like all the Child's Play films, and one of the best deaths in like any kind of horror movie where they kill off somebody. I mean, of course it comes back, but I thought it was badass because, you know, Chucky gets his face sliced and you're like, wow, that looks fucked up, when he's like half of his face is missing, but then he falls into the blade and it's like, wow, that's like, that's a hell of a way to go, dude. So fucking, Yeah, what do you have to say about that fucking whole ending thing? Because I thought it was pretty badass.
The ending was definitely good. You know, that honestly, to me, out of that whole movie, I mean, that's probably like the most memorable part out of that whole thing. I even had to do a whole big portrait of that whole scene where he's falling down into that big giant fan. The one where they all almost died falling off like this high kind of scary ass mountain that they have inside the carnival. That whole scene was just great. I love the veins and everything. I'd like to see more of that. But out of that whole scene, though, it kind of made me curious, and I don't know how you all felt about that, but if you, in comparisons to like 1, 2, and 3, have you noticed like all the times that he ended up doing the words of Dembala, you know, trying to transfer his soul into each one of these people, into Andy, or trying to do it, and but for, in comparison to the first one where he actually succeeded, he did it into the doll, but every single time, I think this is like the longest that he's actually ended up saying those magical words trying, yes, to transfer it. I don't understand, like, why does, I think it's just for movie sakes, they just extend it, just keep, you know, yelling out gibberish until Andy gets to you, and then we're going to go ahead and stop scene, and then we're going to go ahead and make it the action sequence. But, and
did you notice that it took the longest, too, for the clouds to arrive when he started saying that?
It does. That was kind of weird for me, too. And then, you know, if you jump into Bride of Chucky, they still end up using the words, but now they made it, in Bride of Chucky, they made it a focal point to say that the whole adventure was about the amulet. There was an amulet apparently involved in it, in comparison to just using the words. Then as we progress forward, we went into the Cult of Chucky. Then they realized, oh, look, you can just go ahead and look at Voodoo for Dummies. Now I can tear my soul apart and take a piece of that and put it into different, you know, objects with, you know, two legs and arms, you know, so, and a mouth, so that way you can talk and all that and communicate. And they're just kind of, I don't know. I guess they're kind of spreading that a little too thin. And I'm kind of curious, like, if I were to meet, like, the actual, like, you know, creator, I would like to ask him. I was like, hey, man, is there, like, a certain length, or is this just for the movies? Like, is there actually rules to him actually succeeding to trying to transfer? Because, man, he was going at Tyler pretty damn long. And it sounded like he got his arm shot off. And yet he was still proceeding to say the damn magic words. And I was like, man, this, I was like, he should have already done it by now. In the first one, he was dying and he was already at the end of his rope. I don't know if there's like a reasoning for that or something, but anyways, I can go on a whole rant on that. I just kind of curious on like what you guys thought about that.
Oh, you know, Chucky, I thought it was over for Andy in part two when he does that whole Ade Dewey in the fucking factory, and then like Chucky like blinks and he's like bleeding now, he's like, it's too late, you know, and all that bullshit. So I mean, as far as if there should be rules, but I mean, I think that they just change every just to fit whatever's going on. I don't think he really had a, other than you got to say these words, and then it's like, well, if he does say them, you know, why does he have to do it within a certain time? And I think it's one of those things that are constantly adding, kind of like Freddy. They're like, oh,
he's just trying to adapt for the movie's sake.
Yeah, I think they had like
extra. I kind of feel like it was that way, but at the same time, I guess that's just me nitpicking it the little.
Of course.
Yeah, I just started seeing it. I was like, man, you should have already succeeded.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what are you doing? And I was like, what the hell? Well, if anything, I would have been like Andy. I would have been like kind of curious about that. Well, I think it is too late, right? No? No, it's not? I'll try to kill him anyways.
Like, I don't remember the end of Cult of Chucky, but like, I know that that idea was supposed to be for this film, but they didn't want to do it because expense-wise. But, I mean, Chucky does go into a human at the end of Cult of Chucky, which like is played by his daughter now. So, I mean, right. I don't remember how it's done or why. I just remember that, oh, now Chucky's a woman or whatever. So, I mean,
yeah,
they finally did it, but I don't even remember how or why.
apparently they made a point of it that they made a point of it in Cult of Chucky, saying that one of Chucky's flaws, he actually has like a kind of a personal weakness. He can't leave things undone. That was one of the reasons why he kept going after Andy. It wasn't because he really wanted Andy's body, but it was because he was fixated on it. He has like a one-track mind. So pretty much they were saying not only that girl Nika was involved from Curse of Chucky, and like they can't, you know, since the police ended up coming in and they started investigating everything, they locked her up saying that she was crazy, saying that the damn doll was alive. So what happened was, like, just like they explained, Chucky can't leave things undone. So, of course, you know, now he started looking up Nika. So then he ends up looking her up and coming back, and he actually succeeded. That's how he ended up getting into her body. So he actually succeeded. But the same thing, how he did it was, he looked up Voodoo for Dummies, which I didn't even think that was going to be accurate, but the magic words are in there, and he found out a way to split up his soul, and he actually was able to possess her, and she was crippled throughout the damn movie, or disabled, you want to be politically right or something, but he was able to go ahead and make her stand back up again. So I don't know if that had... I guess it kind of made it look like she has nothing physically wrong with her. It's more of a possessed ghost type thing, spiritual thing. But anyways, Chucky possessed her body and she was able to get back up. But not only that, Chucky is still a damn doll and he's running around. And that's kind of like where the spinoff was. The whole point now, since he was able to split up, is that now the hunt begins. Andy and whoever else wants to help him out has to hunt down the rest of these Chuckies before it spreads like a virus. So now he's more of a, which I thought it was amazing. I love that kind of idea that they were running with that. But yeah, the whole point was trying to hunt down these Chuckies, kill them before it actually, you know, proceeds to get worse and he starts infecting the damn rest of the world. But anyways, yeah, that's pretty much Cult of Chucky in a nutshell.
Chris, how do you have this bad boy rank or ranking? Yeah,
I'm gonna give it. It's fun. I'm gonna give it an 8 out of 10. Fun movie. Not the greatest accuracy as far as like. I mean, there wasn't nothing really bothered me about the story per se, just except like the accuracy of how a military school would be run. But hey, I mean, it's fiction, and you got to tell a story. I can let it go. I can forgive a lot of that. It's just how fast paced the movie is, and how you're so into it now. Chucky is with like, it's joking kind of like the way Freddy does, but Freddy's joking got dumber after like as many sequels happened. But this was like his best joking yet, I thought. And so much irony in this. For example, like, the movie starts out with Chucky killing someone in a room full of toys, you know, fictional objects. And there's this big train suspended from above, and it's got dips, kind of like a roller coaster, but it's a train. And then he ends up meeting his own demise, or at least temporary demise, in a haunted house type setting at a carnival or whatever you want to call it, you know, a fair, county fair, whatever it is, you know, falling into the middle of a damn, you know, mini roller coaster. So that was ironic. Then the irony of the sergeant, you know, who the drill sergeant, whatever, who's cutting people's hair and explaining why you keep your hair short in a military order so you can't get your throat slit. And lo and behold, look what happens to him. And there's more. It's just those are the two that really stick out. But overall, fast-paced movie, fun, funny lines, very heelish, good dual dynamic of two different, you know, forces at play in Andy's life. And I enjoyed it, so I'm going to give it an 8.
I'm going to give it a 6.8, dude. I have a lot of fun with it. Trying to be a little bit more accurate with my rankings. I think it's really good. It's fun. But it's not something. And it is something that I can go back to. But compared to the other ones, you know, it's not as good as the first two. I don't even remember what I gave the other ones. But 6.8 for me. Good film. Definitely one that I like to come back to every once in a while. I kind of like Gabe. But Gabe, G-Money?
Yep. Well, as far as this movie goes, I mean, I do watch it from time to time, and it's not one of the worst movies ever. But, you know, just like you were talking about earlier, like, it's just the characters themselves. It's not the actors. It's just how they're placed or how they're, mm-hmm. I guess, how they're carrying themselves that just makes it not, you know, like, You just kind of want to see more with Andy, even though the focus isn't on Andy, but he's still like that kind of hero, and you just kind of want to see more with him. But I don't know. But all the other characters, they just weren't doing it for me at all. And there are some funny moments that was pretty, you know, it's pretty entertaining. But overall, the ending was like honestly the best and most memorable part for me. I'm going to give this like a straight out 7, like straight.
Look at us. Just a straight out seven.
Yeah, it's not the worst. It's not the best. And if you notice, like from a lot of our other ratings, every time I give them like a 7, it's like I know they're rewatchable. I can rewatch it without any issues, but at the same time, I'm probably not going to rewatch it as much as, you know, as an 8 or a 9 that I would give. 7s are rewatchable, and that's what this one lands on. That's the only reason why I would give that.
No, I 100% agree. So, I mean, we're pretty close. Of course, Chris is giving it that H2O, Halloween H2O compatibility kind of, you know, shit. But
I got to say, I pop for Justin Whalen in this just because, like, I loved that because he was the one that played Jimmy Olsen in that, which came out 2 years after this movie. He played Jimmy Olsen in that ABC show about Superman and Lois Lane with Terry Hatcher and Dean Cain.
Never saw it, dude.
I'm the only one to watch that.
I remember that show, but I never watched it. I remember what you're talking about, but you know, I know Chris was the TV show man, dude. No horror movies, but every fucking TV show growing up in the 80s and 90s, he can tell. I'm glad me and Gabe kind of saw that, you know, and I know Gabe's a fucking, he loves Chucky, you know, so I do too. It's like one of my favorite franchises. It's like, it's just a whole lot of fun. But what's going on with the horror community, the horror world, Gabe?
I just got a couple of things. I mean, there's not a lot going, there's a lot of stuff going on, but it kind of depends on like what you're looking for. As far as movies though, you know, they've released another Morbius, you know, with those Marvel movies, Morbius movie trailer out. So if you're not familiar with Morbius, it's one of the living vampires from Marvel Comics. And this is one of Spider-Man, well, not just Spider-Man, but along with Moon Knight and some other characters, arch enemies. So Morbius has his own little kind of interesting kind of background on that. And this movie is going to kind of explain that and try to work him into the whole Spider-Man series. So this is going to be a Marvel horror themed. So, which is pretty interesting since we're kind of getting a glimpse of something like that already. Like, you know, we're seeing it with Venom. We know there's a horror movie coming out with Doctor Strange. So that's kind of cool. The new Doctor Strange movie, the Multiverse of Madness, is going to be rated R. It's going to be horror themed. So that's going to be cool. But Morbius also, here's another one. You like vampires. I like this whole thing. I hope they kind of come out with a little more vampire movies. Try to get that theme rolling again. You know, I know they got Blade coming back. So that's going to be another vampire kind of deal. And maybe he might actually cross paths with Morbius. So Jared Leto is going to be leading the way as far as being the vampire for Morbius. So that's going to be cool. This movie is slated for January 28th of next year. So if you're kind of looking for something, you know, kind of comic-ish, that's pretty cool. Ghost Rider is coming up on at least, you know, he's coming at least 40 years debut. Mm-hmm. Oh, 50th anniversary, I'm sorry. And they're coming out with a comic book series to go ahead and bring back Johnny Blaze. So this is coming early of next year. So that's going to be pretty cool. So they're going to have they call it the Year of Vengeance. If you're familiar with Corey Smith, he's the one who actually did X-Men Blue. He did Captain Marvel. He did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, he's got some very great artwork. So he'll be headlining that comic book series. So Ghost Rider, you know, with Johnny Blaze, that's coming back. So that's going to be pretty awesome. I got pretty excited about that. And since we were talking about Chucky, just to kind of let you know, early of next year, if you're familiar with NECA Toys does like a lot of horror themed stuff. Like they have like Pinhead and they have aliens. They do very good, you know, great detail on their toys and action figures. They even sell like little dioramas and stuff like that. You can build like a whole little mini movie scene out of it. But just to let you know, they're coming out a life-size, full figure of Chucky from Bride of Chucky. Now, I understand that there is Trick or Treat Studios that actually have, you know, Trick or Treat Studios already has like a Tiffany doll. They have Seed of Chucky doll, and they actually have, you know, Chucky from Bride of Chucky and Child's Play 2 version. But NECA Toys actually has, I guess they're going to put their own spin on it. And I guess, you know, we can kind of go ahead and see, like, what that's going to look like, you know, in comparison from one doll to the next. I do own the Child's Play 2 version. I got it from the Kickstarter for Trick or Treat Studios. And, man, that kind of set me back 500 bills on that one. So, yeah, it's a kind of a collectible for me. And he wears a little construction hat, and he's sitting over here on the side. So I look at him from time to time, and, you know, it's nothing you can be scared about. It's just something to laugh at because he has a little construction hat and all. So pretty neat stuff. But anyways, collectible toys, you know, things like that. I just want to go ahead and bring shit like that to people's attention. There's probably some other stuff out there. But as far as of right now, just kind of giving you all the heads up. I'll have some more stuff for you all next time. I know we're kind of running short on time, so I just wanted to go ahead and bring that to y'all's attention.
It's all good. I'm a big NECA fan, man. I'm the collector of the what are they, 12-inch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures, all four of them. I got set back about five bills myself getting that collection. Damn. Getting that collection.
Good stuff.
Yeah, dude. So that's
I want a full figure April O'Neil, man. That's, you know, removable clothes, action belt. You know, I want the whole 9 yards. That, you know, I love Leonardo. He's my favorite Ninja Turtle. But honestly, I will go ahead and take that one. That would be pretty interesting to have, you know, just kind of staring at. Wife will probably tear it down, but it's pretty neat. It's pretty cool.
They you know, during my transition from one job to the other, they had released the Ninjas or the Foot Clan and Shredder and all that. So, and I think Casey Jones. So I was like, man, I wanted to get them so bad, but I was like, no, I can't be doing this nonstop buying every single thing that NECA releases, because they do make the best stuff. But yeah, I can't wait to go ahead and to get started on Resident Evil and then the rest of Child's Play. So y'all guys tune in for that shit next week. But hope everyone out there enjoyed it. And I know Chris can't give an intro like I can give an intro, so hopefully next time he'll allow me to do the intro next time. Winks at Gabe. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you on the next one.
Man, you gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong. Peace.
I'm out.